Father, we thank you for the gift of your Holy Scriptures. We thank you for the great testimony that they bear of your Son, and that this great Son, the Lord of all, is the one who is the exact representation of your nature, the outshining of your very being, our Father. And we pray that as we give attention to the passages that we've read, as we hear your word expounded to us, Father, that you'd give us hearts to receive all that you would have for us in the gift of your Son by the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful gathering here this afternoon, and a wonderful day, and much joy. And we've had the honour and blessing of having some extensive conversations with Ross and Laura in the time leading up to their wedding. So they're not going to be surprised by what I'm going to say first up today. Some of you may be surprised, and if you are surprised, I hope you won't be too surprised for too long. Because what I want to say is that there are a number of reasons why this day is not about Ross and Laura. There are three reasons why this day is not all about them. It's a bit of a shock, isn't it? Because we build up in our society to think that a wedding is all about the couple. In fact, it's not all about the couple, it's all about God. But by the same token, there are three reasons why this day today is all about Ross and Laura. And paradoxically, the reason that it's all about Ross and Laura is the same reason why it's not about Ross and Laura. The reason that it is about Ross and Laura is that it's all about God. So three reasons why this is not about you today. It's all about God because marriage is God's idea. Various societies express marriage in different ways, and that variation of expression of marriage has as much to do with human sinfulness as it has to do with anything else. But the idea of marriage comes not from us, but from God. And the Apostle Paul, in the reading from Ephesians chapter 5, has told us that. He said that this marriage of which he's speaking is speaking about Christ and the church. And creationally, right from the very beginning, as Jesus said on another occasion, it has been given for a man and a woman to be one flesh, for them to leave their father and mother, to cleave together, to be one flesh. This comes from God, not from us. And it comes from God because God has designed marriage to reflect something of his own nature and purpose for the world. God is the one who lives in perpetual, eternal love relationship. And he has designed marriage to express that perpetuity of relationship, and he's designed marriage to express the perpetuity of love within marriage. And one day, if the Lord blesses you, you will have children. And the relationship that you have with those children will be designed to reflect the relationship that God the Father has with us. So whether it be about the love that you know together, the joy and the peace and the blessing and the forbearance that you know together, whether it be those things that you know with your children, it's all about God. Every bit is a testimony to Him. Every bit is a prophetic sign. And that's the second reason why it's not all about you today. It's not all about you because as we come together to witness this event and to see the joy in your hearts and lives, God Himself is actually speaking and God Himself is actually bearing testimony. And this marriage is a prophetic sign. I bet when you came here this afternoon, you're getting yourselves ready to come, you didn't think that I'm going to witness a prophetic event this afternoon. You thought, well, I'm going to see Ross and Laura get married. But it is, in fact, a prophetic event. Because in this marriage, God actually tells us what the future of the world is like. Some of us who are of a certain vintage might remember the poetry of T.S. Eliot, and he says, "This is the way the world ends, this is the way the world ends. This is the way the world ends, not with a bang but a whimper." T.S. Eliot was wrong. It doesn't end with a bang or a whimper, it ends in a marriage. The end of all history is the marriage of the bride and the lamb, that Christ has come from the eternities of heaven, from the glories of the everlasting Father. He has come to find a bride for himself, that where he is, she may be also, that the glory he has from before the foundation of the world with the Father may be the glory in which his bride shares, that the love that he has known from the beginning would be the love that his people would know for all eternity. This is a prophetic sign. It's not all about you, it's all about what God is saying to the world. And every time there is a wedding, there is a prophecy being given. The world is heading somewhere. It's not out of control. Its nature and its destiny is witnessed to in marriage, and in that marriage God has pledged to himself a people who will be before him on the last day without spot and wrinkle and without blemish. And the third reason that it's not all about you today is that your marriage needs the power of God to succeed. It's amazing when you see God persisting with marriage in the scriptures. From the time that human sin and angelic evil enters the world, the reality, the creational reality of marriage has been hotly contested. And that which God had from the beginning set to be the creational structure of things was overthrown, or at least there was an attempt to overthrow it. And throw all the way through the story of God's dealings with humanity, from the very opening book of the Bible all the way through to the end, you see there's a contest about marriage. But all the way through, God persists in that marriage. He persists in visiting people so that they may remain married. He persists in making that marriage the means by which his seed would come into the world finally. And marriage is the arena of God's grace. So in the end, in the last day, if the Lord gives you many, many, many decades to live together and you're looking at one another across the nursing home, remembering this afternoon, your testimony will be, God has got us here. You can't believe in yourself to get yourself there. You can't believe in the commitment that you make to one another today. You can't believe in the love that seems so deep in your heart, because that can grow cold. It's only God who can preserve your marriage. So it's all about him. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us. And not that we loved one another, but that he loved us. And we love because we love one another. And the key to your marriage, as you well know, is to keep the love of God fresh in your hearts. And as that is fresh in your hearts, so the love that you have for one another will burn continually. So there's three reasons why marriage is not all about Ross and Laura, but there's three reasons why it is all about you. And paradoxically, they're exactly the same. First reason why it's all about you today is because marriage is God's idea. Not just the general sense of marriage across all cultures and societies, not just the creational sense of marriage, but this marriage is God's idea. Ross and Laura's marriage is God's idea. Marriage has to be specifically expressed in a specific relationship. And it's God's idea that Ross and Laura be married today. You didn't know that God had purposed you to be married when you were born. You didn't know when you were running around in short pants, Ross, that you would meet Laura one day. But God knew. In fact, God had purposed it. God has given you the families that he's given you. God has given you the backgrounds that he's given you. And at the right time, like a jewel that's been minted in the very deep, dark recesses of some wonderful workshop, he just brings it to you and shows you. And suddenly it's a real marriage. Not just a theoretical marriage, but two people really loving one another. And God's brought you to one another. God's ordered all of your circumstances that you would meet one another. And God wants you in all of that to be filled with inexpressible joy and full of glory. Because God's glory is most fully revealed in us when our joy is most fully complete in him. So it's all about you and what God has done in you. And the second reason why it's all about you is that marriage is a prophetic sign. And again, it's not just the general conception of marriage, the general idea of marriage, which is a prophetic sign in history. It's actually truly a prophetic sign that you are together. Because your marriage is forged in the furnace of that marriage between Christ and his church. That we who knew no love, we who had no husband to care for us, we who were lost in the degradation of our sin, actually had someone who loved us and came to us and cleansed us. And that's not a general story for all of us. It is, but it's a particular story for you. That it's God who's brought you to share in the prophetic sign of marriage. It's God who's brought you to know the covenantal faithfulness that he has for you as individuals and now for you as a couple. And it's God who will show that faithfulness to you for the rest of your days. For richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, forsaking all others, I give you this ring as a sign of the covenant made between us this day, or whatever other words we use. So marriage is a lifetime of covenantal faithfulness, and God has brought you two into this covenantal faithfulness, and it's all about you experiencing that for the rest of your days. It's a prophetic sign to you, and through you, it's a prophetic sign to the world. And the third thing why this marriage is all about you is because it needs the grace and power of God to succeed. It's true for any marriage, but it's true specifically for your marriage. Not because each of you is a bigger sinner than the other, but because each of you has already experienced the mercy of God. That you come together here in marriage today, in this wedding ceremony, with a conscience that's been cleansed from dead works. You come together on the basis of a whole sacrificial offering that your great head, Jesus Christ, has made on your behalf. And you come together in the richness and fullness of that grace which has forgiven you all your sins, which has cleansed you, which has put a new heart and spirit within you. Your testimony is what we've read here in 1 John chapter 4. You did not love God, but God loved you. And he has given his Son for you as a propitiation for your sins. And this marriage is all about you for the rest of your days living in that mercy, living in that love, and living in the dominion that that grace exercises over the wreckage of sin. And you live in the dominion of that joy now forever. It may be that the Lord will bless you with children. Maybe the Lord will bless you with many children. Who knows? But every day, whether you are together, whether there are more added to your family, you will know that this marriage and all of the extended relationships that this now brings to you, this marriage will always be a testimony to God's covenantal mercy. It's not just about you, it's about your children and your children's children and your children's children's children, and all the way through, God will bear testimony to himself. And so marriage is all about God. It's not about us. But because it's all about God, it can be all about us. And you can enjoy it with great rejoicing this afternoon. In him you live and move and have your being. In him you have lived and moved and had your being up until this point, and now you're joined together and you live and move and have your being in him from now on. And if some children come along, you'll all live and move and have your being in him. It's all about God. That's why it can be all about you today.